What's the deal?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Let's go!
What up? Vancouver.
Yeah. What's good?
We see you.
Nice shirt.
This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. My name is Michael Rappaport, also known as the Gringo Mandingo. White Mike. Bird.
Yes.
Mr. White Folk.
Always ready, Chimo Nettie.
Yeah.
2015-2016 podcast co-host of the year.
Of course.
G Moody. Last name rhymes with duty.
That's only one motherfucker that liked that.
How you guys doing? You got my man like he's locked up, like he's in like the little... I see, he looks like... We are known as the Disco 2. The Malachi Brothers.
Gruesome Twosome.
The White Arsenio Hall. The Black Ed McMahon.
This is true.
And this is a live I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast from a sold-out Biltmore Cabaret in Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently this is the only place in Canada, or Vancouver, or Canada, that the Beatles ever played. Ooh. This place, can you imagine that? You went from the Beatles to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't like the Beatles?
Oh.
All right. Don't get nuts. We've been on tour, so I know how to deal with you fucks. This is our third show. Because we were in San Francisco. The crowd was rowdy in San Francisco. They were rowdy in Seattle. And you know, we traveled across country, Gerald. We've been flying and driving and you know, like now when you fly, it's not like normal flying. It's not like fly the friendly skies. It's like
fuck you. The mean skies.
The mean skies. And we went to the airport. It's tense.
Yes. Yes.
We flew from New York to LA, LA to San Fran. San Fran to Seattle, like the TSA, you could just feel it. There's been so many incidents with the United Airlines and, you know, the fighting and the grabbing the passenger and, you know, somebody decided to transport their giant bunny.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why you would do that. And then the bunny died. Feel bad for the bunny.
He was cremated by the airlines.
Yeah, they didn't even let you have, like, you know, their last time with the bunny.
It's not the same airline industry.
No. We're out there like, you know, like Gerald brought the mitts, the boxing mitts. Like, we're warming up. Before you get on a plane, you need to be... It's like going into a UFC fight. You don't know what you're going
to
get.
Right. Got to be prepared. Get ready to fight. So we did some road work in the terminals. I ran. We was shadow boxing, getting ready for the fight.
Stretching me out. You know, I put my mouthpiece in, greased up, and we got on the flight.
Yeah.
And then, San Francisco was a wild crowd. And Seattle was a wild crowd. We were like, I just want to get to Canada. I just want to get to Canada.
Yeah. Canada.
The old Canada. We heard the people are so nice here, so friendly here. We were just, you know, we had enough of like the disrespect and the rudeness and the TSA and, you know, the chitter-chatter with the TSA. They got people that are like, you know, the last line of defense to keep passengers flying. I swear I heard one girl say to another girl, oh, he didn't call you last night? This is a TSA person.
Yeah.
They're talking like they're making fries at McDonald's.
Yeah, molesting the passengers, too.
Yeah, they're supposed to frisk you. It's not supposed to be like, you know, hand job city.
Yeah. Lord.
But we drove from Seattle to Vancouver. We were just so looking forward to getting up here and meeting the nice Canadians. And I got to tell you, we were disappointed.
Yeah.
We were at the, first of all, we got stuck at the border for 55 minutes. Okay? And then we pull up, and God is my witness, go from Seattle to Vancouver. Anne Hathaway is a security person there.
Yeah.
There was like a supermodel Border Patrol chick.
Yep.
No bullshit.
Bad.
I'm not talking about pretty for a Border Patrol chick. Yeah. I'm talking about like drop dead. Like, what the fuck are you doing at the Border Patrol?
Yep. Nice looking woman.
And you know, she's asking us for the passports. We're complying. And she's looking over, you know, our passports. And I said to G. Moody,
nice rack.
And I don't know if she heard, but I don't know how. Like, I know she must get it all the time. Like, I felt like because it was four males and, you know, we were like kind of like, yo, look at this fucking shit. Like, look at this one. Yeah. She gave us the old in and out. We had to go into the place. They made us get out of our car. And they're, you know, asking us questions. All this, like, for a week. We're like, Canada, we want to get to a friendly Canada. These guys are animals.
Yeah.
The what are they called? What are they called? The Northies? The Mounties, those fucks. They weren't friendly at all. Yeah. None of them. Now, I felt like I was in L.A. with the bad cops. Like,
hell
I was like, we put on the ice cube, fuck the police.
Yep.
They were not nice. We walk into the Border Patrol thing. And, you know, I'm like, you know, we should be fine here. We're like 15 minutes goes by, 20 minutes goes by, 30 minutes goes by. And I'm like starting to think like, you know, like, I don't know what's going to happen to us. And I'm like, you know, I go up to like this guy. They don't even look up at you. They won't even make eye contact with. They got all of them have mustaches, including the women.
Yeah.
They all have mustaches. Because aside from the Jennifer Lawrence looking lady at the toll, there was, like, you know how they say male police? Some of them. Because I love the police, and we're making fun. But you know how they say a lot of people, it doesn't even have to be police. It could be the bartender here at the cabaret. You know, they say they want the power. They love the control. And a lot of times the men are accused of that. They're like, oh, he's like a little short guy. He loves the power. Well, female police have the same thing at times.
Yes, no.
Because there was a woman there that her disposition was so unattractive. And we're staring at her trying to get her attention because we want to get the fuck off, you know, into Canada. And I'm like, well, I got to try something. Now it's an hour, 15 minutes. I'm like walking around like, you know, how long is this going to take? She's not looking at, you know, you just got to wait your turn, sir. And I'm like, you ever see Prison Break? Homeland Security?
Yeah.
Don Self?
Yeah.
I
None
never
that
did
that.
In my, like, it was that desperate. Like, we were like, we're going to wind up missing the show at the border. But we made it. But the traffic, we got caught in traffic. It wasn't a friendly way to welcome us. Let's just say that. Like, no one said, like, yo, don't leave at this time. Don't leave. Like, it was like it made rush hour traffic in the Bronx look like Disneyland. It was nothing.
It was fucked up, man.
I know. We didn't plan ahead. Hold on. Let me get the water.
How's everybody doing out there? That's what's up.
So, Canada. A lot of funny, cool people from Canada. You know, I want to just, you know, break it in because we usually do one of our segments. We wanted to do some of the older segments. One of the segments that was a breakthrough segment for the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast is, of course, famous white people with no lips.
Yeah. Larry Bird.
We changed it. Larry Bird is the world's most famous white person with no lips. But since we're in Canada, we're going to do famous Canadians with no lips.
Oh.
Justin Trudeau, who's also on the old Canadian stickman team, apparently.
Oh. Yeah?
Apparently, yeah.
He's a stickman. That's a lofty position.
Yeah, prime minister.
Hell yeah.
The prime minister
is a stick man.
Yes.
He should be.
His dad was a big stick man.
His dad, it runs in the family. He's got the good genes.
Yes.
He's a famous white person with one lip. This one's gonna hurt, people. The next one's gonna hurt. The most famous Canadian with no lips is one of the most famous people in the world, and I'm sorry to say it. You can look it up. The great Gretzky, most famous Canadian, no lips. Listen, it doesn't mean I don't. This guy's like gonna come on the stage. Like I know that's like,
yeah,
that's like sacrilegious.
Yeah, I got
look it up. You know, it doesn't mean he's not great. It doesn't even mean that he's not, you know, a good-looking guy. You know, he's the great one. I don't know. He's definitely, he's a different kind of stick man, Gretzky. Yeah. But you could have no lips and still be, you know, handsome, former sexiest man alive, and I believe he's from Toronto, Ryan Gosling, famous Canadian, no lips.
Oh.
Zero, none.
Stick man?
He's a reluctant stick man.
Okay.
He wants to be like pouty and shy and all that. He's reluctant. If he put his mind to it, Ryan Gosling could put in that work.
Oh, like, he's about that life.
But I don't think he is. Ryan, I think he tries to remain as secretive as possible. Like, we want to know, because the more you look into his past, the worse it gets. Like,
oh,
he was in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Right.
And now he's like, you know, the Marlon Brando of his generation. But it's like Marlon Brando wasn't also in the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, it doesn't. No one wants that on their record.
Yes, I hear you.
Like Justin Timberlake, you think he's excited to tell people, like, yo, remember I was in the Mickey Mouse Club? He's trying to be, like, you know, on some cool shit.
Yeah.
So who else is it? And Mark Messier, famous guy. I hate that. I know you guys, like, it's like, they're like, that shit's not getting funny anymore.
These are hockey guys.
Don't fuck
with the hockey guys in Canada, motherfucker.
These are like legends.
Yeah, leave them alone.
Famous Canadians, Ryan. These are not famous white people with no lips or famous Canadians with no lips. I know Michael Bublé. Are you guys, is he from Vancouver?
Yeah!
I used to come to the Vancouver Grizzlies games. This is a... this is a good crowd because they're cheering a team that consecutively sucked.
Yeah.
That's why I like this crowd.
That's why they left.
Big Country. Somebody melded my head together on Big Country's. I didn't know where. Like they did a Photoshop of it. I didn't know where I began and Big Country started. I was like,
maybe that was you.
Yeah, I actually just sent it to Chris Mullen because it was like if me and Chris Mullen fucked, we would have had Big Country.
Oh.
As a child.
Shit, man. You gross the motherfuckers out.
You had Steve Francis, the first round pick.
Oh.
Mike Bibby was good up here.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. This is like the shortest run. If you guys are such good fans, why weren't you cheering and yelling at the games? 6 years they were here and they left.
Why did they leave?
I don't know. All right. You can't ask him. Don't ask him questions. Calm down. I'm down.
Okay.
Down. Well, we're here to tell you that you don't have basketball. We're willing to trade free of charge the entire Knicks organization.
Yeah.
You can have the whole team. We don't want any receipt and there's no return date. Like, you keep it.
Yep.
And we don't want to hear anything else. We're trying to get rid of the New York Knicks.
These motherfuckers.
The my other time here in Vancouver was with Arnold Schwarzenegger, a retired stickman.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, after that public shaming, I think he's a...
He has a kid with the nanny. That's like worst case scenario shit.
Yeah.
That's like whatever can go wrong for a stickman did go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick men use condoms.
There's a, you see, one of the things about, because they just, Jordan, did they retire Jeter's number or they're doing it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
So it's like Derek Jeter weekend in New York.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, you know, Jeter, famous for being the consummate stick man of his generation.
The top.
But people get it. people get it mixed up. People think that it's all about numbers and disrespect. Being a sick man is about being a gentleman, and it's walking away, no blood, no foul, no harm. Like, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who has something bad to say about a great coxman like the great Burgess Meredith. Did his thing.
Yeah. Yep.
You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that has anything negative to say about a legendary stick man like Warren Beatty, for instance. Yeah. Who, by the way, I want all you young people that watch the Oscars and that fiasco that happened to the Oscars, erase that out of your hair, out of your head. This guy, we talk about stick men, we celebrate these guys. He set the bar so high in the 50s. The 60s, the 70s, he had a run like no other.
Yes.
Of course, when Titanic came out, DiCaprio has been fantastic. He's rookie of the year and a 9-10 year all-star for great.
Yeah.
But yeah. Do not disregard. Look up Warren Beatty.
Burgess.
Burgess. These, yep. But Warren Beatty, he got at the Oscars when that whole thing went wrong. People forgot about the great, great work. Gentlemen. Gentlemen, so to clarify, it's not about being, with numbers. There's a difference between being a stick man and...
an irresponsible piece of shit.
Right. Yes.
I love you, Judy!
I love you, too.
Judy! G. Moody, last name rhymes with duty.
That's for sure.
So, you know, we've been podcasting...
since 1982,
83. We met playing ball through a mutual friend.
Yep.
And the first time G. Moody ever made me laugh, I don't know if anybody will ever appreciate how much this made me laugh, but, you know, we were playing ball, and then, like, you know, your kids are like, you know, we can hang out, you come sleep over, no Bruno, and... and you know, we're kids, we're like, yeah, we'll play ball tomorrow. So we get to my house... my apartment. This is in New York City. This is 1982. I'm 12 or 11, and G is 12 or 11 years old. And he says, the first thing he says to me as soon as he gets there is, I got to take a dog shit. And he had to use the bathroom. And I found it so funny. I was laughing like one of those laughs in your stomach where, like, you're... And by the time he came back from taking his dog shit... I was still laughing.
Yeah.
And we've been podcasting unofficially ever since.
That's right. Hell yeah.
So I knew this was going to be a good night.
Yep. Oh, Canada.
So Vancouver, the sixth day, Schwarzenegger. I haven't been here since. I have great sushi in this town. I remember, I can't remember the place. Is it Dojo? Tojo, that's the famous one, right? With the famous guy? Because it was expensive when I went there once. And that was a while ago, so I bet you it's even more expensive now. The other day, the yearly... how do you guys... And I don't. This isn't a Q&A part. I'm going to answer all questions. We could ask questions. Just I want to try to get a sense. Do you guys like professional football? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, all right.
Now, since you, so I imagine you guys probably like the Seahawks, yeah. Right?
Cool. Who the fuck y'all like?
They could just poach any team. It's like different.
Yeah, the Giants.
But I imagine they like the. There's like. Okay. This isn't the Q&A part. I'll do questions all night. I promise. Well, if you're Seahawks fans, you can't stand it. One thing I really loved about that Seattle crowd, we had a sort of...
contention.
Yeah, they hate that fucking guy, Tom Brady. They hate him like I hate him. And we bonded on that instantaneously. Yeah. And the other day, he was put on... The cover of
Madden.
Madden.
Yeah. The GOAT edition. Madden GOAT edition.
Is that what they called it?
Yeah. And we're saying like, hasn't he won enough?
He's won enough. He's been on the covers. He's got enough sponsorship. He's got so many accolades. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, arguably. He lost two Super Bowls to the Giants. That's not where I'm going to go. I'm not going to segue into that.
We beat his ass.
You know, we're podcasting in Boston in the summer. I don't know how this Tom Brady bashing. I refuse to not do the Tom Brady sucks bit in Boston. But we are going to have security.
Yeah. We're going to be in a Pope mobile and shit doing the podcast.
But they keep putting these players on there. You know, like last year, I think they had Antonio Brown, and then a couple of years ago, Gronkowski, and
yep.
Now this year they got Tom Brady. And I don't understand why they don't just
have a Madden CTE edition.
Put the guys up there that could use the money. Put the guys up there that have been up there, that paved the way for the Tom Brady's.
Who are now drooling on themselves in a wheelchair.
And we're not making fun of it. No. Don't. Oh,
no
we're
fun.
Not. There's no fun. We love and admire these guys. They don't have any stipend from the NFL. They don't have any insurance from the NFL. And you put Tom Brady on the fucking cover of Madden?
Right.
Put Jim McMahon up there on the cover of Madden.
Yeah. Put them on the cover. Give them some shine.
Right.
Like this guy's won enough, and he cheated.
And he cheated.
They act like that shit didn't happen.
Right. Put
he
Jim
cheated.
McMahon up there. He deserves it. Earl Campbell.
See? Absolutely. Yeah.
All of them.
There's so
many players up there. Jack Lambert doesn't know if he's coming or going.
Why not?
We love these guys. I want them to be treated fairly.
Yeah.
Why are we like once they're finished, you put them dead, you put them to the side, you cast them away. You think Tom Brady's gonna be able to do the alphabet in 10 years? Get the fuck out of here.
Word.
Love him now, ladies.
Yeah.
Appreciate his chin and his blue eyes and his cheekbones now, because in 10 years, he's gonna be talking gibbly gobbly goo, man.
You're gonna need subtitles to understand that.
And then you're gonna be like, "What about Tom?
Yeah.
What about Tom?
What about Torb?
We're Tommy.
Fuck Torby.
You'll see him at the Hall of Fame induction. He won't know who Bill Belichick is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making fun of these guys. It's just the real.
We want our guys on that Madden.
Madden CTE edition.
Yeah. CTE. It's all in the brain.
Mm.
EA Sports.
There you go. That's why he's the 2015 and 2016 podcast co-host of the year. Because I don't want any of you guys trying to mad shame us.
Yeah, we don't
roll
like that.
We can't talk.
Man.
Everybody, when we brought up the CTE, I noticed the guy like, "Oh, that's not funny." It ain't funny. That's why we have to talk about it. People want to get to the point where, like, you can't say things. And it actually did start with Richard Sherman when he came up to Tom Brady and he said, "You mad, bro?" And Tom Brady should have said, "Yes, fucko, I am mad.
Yeah.
You just beat us. Now get out of my face."
Yeah.
Instead, he didn't say anything. That was the first public incident of mad shaming.
Yep.
Now you can't hate, you can't dislike, you can't disagree because somebody might say, "You mad, bro?" And everybody's afraid to go, "You fucking ass, I am mad."
That's right. That's right.
Mad shaming.
Kind of
especially in sports. You need, there's the Lone Ranger. You have the man in the white hat, the man in the black hat.
Yeah.
You have the good guy, and you have Tom Brady. You know, you got the team you're rooting for and LeBron James.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're with him. I got a team in the basketball tournament, TBT. It's March Madness for pros. I got a squad. My squad's name is the Stickmen. Okay? I've been participating in this cup for the last few years. I love this tournament. My team's name is called the fucking Stickmen. I need your help. You might be saying, "Well, what's in it for me?" When we win the TBT, the tournament this year, our top fans will split $200,000. 10% of the total prizes, okay? 10% of the total prizes will go to the fans. All right, how do you become a top fan of the Stickmen? Easy. Tell your friends, recruit them to vote. Every time you recruit someone and they vote, you get a point. The more points you get, the higher up in the rankings you go. We need your votes to win, to get in, All right, we need a buy. We're called the Stickmen. Here's what you have to do. Go to www.thetournament.com. Click on teams at the top. Search for the Stickmen, the greatest team with the greatest name. Hit the big orange button that says vote for this team and fill out the form. And here's the big part. Click on verify when you get the confirmation email. Okay? Look it up. All right? Go to www.thetournament.com. Click on teams.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The thing that I was, really curious about is like, do Canadians look at the United States as like a different country? Like socially, like, you guys just must be like, yo, these guys are fucked up. You had that cokehead dude, right? Who was that cokehead dude?
Yeah, Toronto, right? That's the only motherfucker they had. And the whole history of Canada.
But they didn't do anything about it. Yo, he was wild. Yeah. He was wild for the night.
Yeah, he was a crackhead, an unapologetic crackhead.
Unapologetic. That's Toronto. Say, I'm saying Canada, the country. I got you. I know. But you know, we have such a, like, when we've done shows in the United States, we made a policy not to talk politics because we learned a lesson when we were in Minnesota. Like, we brought up Trump and, like, you could feel like a gasp.
Yeah.
So I was like, don't go down that road because you're not doing that Amy Schumer shit to me. Like, you're not. I'll throw you the fuck out one by one.
That's right. We don't play that.
I got Charles Oakley in the back. He's the doorman for us.
Yeah. We'll throw you on your fucking head.
You're not doing that Amy Schumer shit to us. So, but we learned that politics it's not our forte. I'm not Bill Maher. We're not Anderson Cooper.
That's right.
But the thing, so we're curious, like what people are viewing, you know, like our current office as. Because in our opinion, they like Trump, the main reason why Trump got voted in is they like him just because he's racist. Like, you drive through Seattle and the North, the Great North White, I'm sorry, Great Northwest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I meant Great Northwest.
Yeah, ain't no brown motherfuckers out here.
Right, it is. Everything's white. They got a different kind of white folk.
Yeah.
When you're driving through that country and they have signs up for Trump all over the fucking place. Yep. Like, he's like JFK, you know, came back to life. Like, he did shit. He hasn't done shit.
Right.
He's been a mess, a disaster, a disruption for a month and a half. He just got here. I don't know how we're going to be able to pace ourselves. He just got in.
Yep.
And you got the Trump supporters, whoever you are, God bless you. And you got the anti-Trump supporters. You got the liberals and then the super liberals.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a motherfucker in here like that?
There's so much, just so you know, what's going on in the United States, there's so much divide amongst people. And before, I didn't realize how it was buried. It was buried. They hated seeing the image of that black president up there. They were like, we'll take the next motherfucker, we don't care who he is.
Right, he can
and
say
this is
whatever.
What we got.
Yeah, that sentiment. What else you got, yo? That was a motherfucking tirade.
I didn't bring the shirts. As a breather, you're gonna do this in a good manner, okay? I'm gonna answer some questions. G. Moody can answer some questions. I just need you to ask the question loud, okay?
And then.
That's disorderly fashion.
Yeah.
That's not an orderly fashion. I want you to prove that at least, despite the fact that the Border Patrol is rude and inconsiderate, that the Canadians are civilized and nice like we heard so much about.
Yeah.
All right, see, I didn't even have to say raise your hand. Now, raise your hand, answer the question. The question is, what was it like meeting Tupac? I got the opportunity to meet him a few times. Never spent like long time around him, but I mean, when I first saw him in Juice, to me, that's one of the great breakout performance of an actor. Like as far as somebody like making an impression on film, that's like De Niro in Mean Streets, or you know, like James Dean, or like Marlon Brando in On the Waterfront. Like, it was like a breakout performance. And I, you know, I had already been a fan of his for the music. He hadn't popped off. And I had heard about him actually because I was friends with Jada Pinkett. And she kept telling me, she said, my friend Tupac. And I was like, what is that name? And she said, yo, I'm telling you, he's gonna be big. He's gonna rap and he's gonna act. And I was like, yeah, keep fucking dreaming. You know, because at the time it was like before people were acting and rapping. I was like, sure, he's gonna, and with a name like that.
Right.
But he was cool, charismatic. Super talented, very passionate, and, you know, iconic. And what a shame, 25 years old, and made such an impression with everything he's done. Yep. So it was cool.
When will you buy the ZO2s and support your boy LeVar Ball?
Oh. The same time you will.
Yeah, you got your receipt for your $495.
You wearing Nikes, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're not wearing no big baller. You're not a big baller brand.
Them ball, them.
If you're at the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast in Vancouver, you're not a big baller.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the big thing, you know, me and Gerald seem a little bit different on this. I mean, you know, I feel the pressure to, like, you know, like keep you guys entertained with, like, new shit. But the big baller, like, Lonzo Ball thing, you know, it's been sort of polarizing in the sports world. And I think that, you know, it might be a good idea, but I think it's getting melded into this sort of race thing that's an underlining tone, which I think this is all about money with him. But then they came out and they said the shoes were for the culture. I don't know what kind of culture could afford $495 shoes.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're supposed to wear. Like, I don't know if there's any sneakerheads in here. Are there any sneakerheads in here? Okay, good. So there's only one. So I'll only be insulting one person. Because I think, like, when I grew up, like, we'd want sneakers, like, Jordans came out and Big Nikes came out and the Barclays came out, but they were for wearing. Motherfuckers are treating their sneakers like museum pieces.
Yeah.
Like they're Picassos.
Yeah, like you're going to frame them shits up, man.
Yeah, you know, you want them to stay white, you know, but they're for wearing, they're for running, they're for performance.
And they cost $5 to produce.
Now they have sneaker,
What? Sneaker?
Like bags, so you can wear your sneaker with a clear
bag. Raincoats for the sneakers, where you zip them up.
It's not a Basquiat, it's a pair of fucking Jordans.
It's shoes.
And a lot of people love basketball sneakers, but do not love basketball at all. None whatsoever. So
they're just to walk.
So a $495 pair of sneakers from a guy who's never played. You could buy like three pairs of Jordans and those overpriced army boots that LeBron scales off his sneakers. Yeah. Wait, I see you. What's?
So could you beat LeVar one-on-one?
Could I beat LeVar Ball? I haven't seen him play, but if I had a month to get in shape,
yeah,
we'd be balling. Yeah. I just have to get in shape. I seen him play. Trust me. That lefty shit.
He ain't all that.
Yeah, he ain't all that.
He ain't all that.
I'll do one more question and we'll get back. I'll go in the back. In the back. One of you girls in the back. I can't see you. Just say it loud. Good question. All right. So the question was, if I could be on one fair franchise of the Real Housewives, which one would I do? I don't know what's funny about that, because I love the Housewives. As passionate as I get about... I think you guys must know this about me. You hear me talking about it. It baffles... Like, Gerald's going to go take a piss if I start pontificating about it.
Yeah, I'll be out. I'll be out.
But I would say my favorite Real Housewives show... It's hard to pick one, because I'll say my top three are Jersey, New York, and Atlanta, in no particular order. And the way I fell in love with the Housewives shows, because he's from football. My team, the Giants, I can't remember the exact game, was losing. I shut the game down. I went upstairs. I wanted to just not think about football. And the Housewives were on. And it's like crack in the 80s. Like, once you get in, you can't get out. And I was riveted by it. I was emotionally invested. I found it funny. And people say they're not real, they're not real, they're acting. Let me tell you something. Meryl Streep on her best day couldn't do what the women of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills do.
What?
If those are actresses, then there's a, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Because they're bringing, like, synthetic reality to television.
Top notch.
So it's hard for me to pick one, but those are my three. There's been great moments from all of them. I actually missed the Real Housewives of New York this week, so I get to actually double up, which at first I thought it was a bad thing, but I get 2 hours straight of just New York.
Right.
I know some of you are like, what the fuck is he like? It's like as if I was started talking Portuguese. Hold on, I gotta do the questions. Let me see, all the way in the back. Somebody all the way in the back, there's nice, loud... Stand up, say it. I don't care. Just this is. I gotta say,
money in the
I am
rent.
Seeing the politeness of the Canadians. I like this. Hold on. We'll do all of them. We'll do all of them. Don't fight.
Money in the rent.
Unless you hockey fight, then you can fight.
Besides Jeter and Leo, who else is on the Mount Rushmore stickman?
Oh, that's a good question.
Clooney.
Part B. Carver Yager. World class stickman.
Yes. Okay, hold on. I can't ask her. I can't answer about Yager because, you know, as much as I was going to come in here and try to kiss ass with my stories about loving the Vancouver Canucks, you guys would know I was fucking lying.
Yeah. Clooney.
I'm saying hockey in general. Hey, you say, Yager's not a Canuck? No, I know, motherfucker. I'm saying.
Yeah. This motherfucker, he just want to be part of the show.
Hey, wait, I know he's not a Canuck. I also just said I don't fuck with hockey like that. So the question was about stickmen. Again, all right, well, I'll rattle off some of the lesser-known stickmen.
George Clooney.
Great run.
Classy.
Ladies love George Clooney.
Like LL.
Matt Dillon, fantastic stick man.
Word.
One of the great stickmen of 80s, 90s basketball had the South on lock. They call him the human highlight film, Dominique Wilkins.
Dominique Wilkins, classy.
Oh, if you went down to Atlanta in the 80s, in the 90s, the Domo. Human highlight film could set you up with every. He had to play, he put up numbers that were more impressive than his dunks.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
Dr. J.
Dr. J, the great Dr. J. Yes, of course. That goes. I'm trying to get lesser known. Who else?
Michael Rapaport
is not like that. Wasn't my thing. I mean, I had my time.
Yeah, you.
But I had my time, but it just wasn't my thing. Like, I just was like, I don't know. It wasn't my thing. You know what the big question about the stickman lifestyle has been lately is A-Rod, because everybody sees him with J-Lo. Then you start to look because you guys are probably Seattle Mariners fans, right?
Right.
A-Rod, I treat the Stickman Hall of Fame the same way I treat the Baseball Hall of Fame. If you're using PEDs during the time of your best work, I can't consider you a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, disqualified.
All right, we're going to do something we've never done live. Miles.
Miles.
We've never done this live. We've only done...
Sick fuck of the week.
Just ruin the fucking surprise.
Yeah. You motherfucking...
You crazy cocksucker! Lock this cocksucker up! All right, so we do a consensus of the sick fucks of the week. If you've never seen an I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast show, it is an award that is earned, not given.
Yes.
I'll say it again. It is an award that is earned.
Not given.
Miles, can you please cue the sick fuck of the week music?
This award is earned, not given. It's called the sick fuck of the week. This guy's really sick. Lock him up. How could you do it? Don't let him out. Damn.
You fucked the dog?
You what?
You fucked the dog? Why would he fuck the dog? Why would you fuck your girlfriend's dog? Sick fuck. The sick fuck of the week. It's yes. Earned. Earned.
Yes.
Kevin, you did.
Why'd you do it?
What?
Why?
No.
What?
No.
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 No. No, lock him up, man. He's so sick. He's walking the streets and he's so sick, man.
Yes, yes. Terrible.
Are you guys ready? All right, these are all new.
All new.
Sick fuck of the weeks. And it broke it up a little bit, but they come in waves. Yeah. Because when we looked over the first 6 months of the year, we're heading into June, we found that the sick fuck of the week award almost should be changed to the guy who fucked his dog of the week award. And you were doing it up here too.
Yeah.
We people up here, they like farm animals up here also.
Yeah.
It ain't just Florida, motherfuckers.
Yes.
We follow what's going on up here. All right. And this guy. This just happened. Thursday was a bad night for some, a good night for us.
Yeah.
So there's a man 59 years old. He was caught outside of a youth center in Portland. Choking his chicken. He said he was doing it because he hates Portland.
So he's now known as the Angry Skeeter.
Skeet, 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 skeet.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
You know how at the poet jams, they go, like we like here. When we do that, you guys go, skeet, 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 skeet. You know, like the Def Jam, don't they go, they snap?
Yeah, the poetry shit.
Yeah, so you, that'll be our thing. If we do something funny, instead of laughing, just be like, skeet, 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 skeet.
Much better.
That. Matter of fact, I just want to do it because we'll use it for the live show. On three, everybody just go skeet, 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 skeet. Collectively, one, two, three.
Skeet, 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 skeet,
skeet, skeet,
skeet. That's good.
Nice. I'm going to change every time you guys laugh to skeet, skeet, skeet. People will be like, people in Vancouver are fucking nuts.
Yeah. Great city,
they're like,
man.
I don't want to ever tour up there, man. Like, they don't sing the lyrics to my songs. They just go...
Ski, 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 ski. Hell yeah.
All right, this happened in New York City on the same Thursday night. Again, bad night for somebody, good night for us. The Lincoln Tunnel, I don't know if you've ever been to New York, but it's like the centerpiece tunnel of the city.
Right.
You can't have this kind of activity. It's like a place where, you know, like... God forbid anything happened in the Lincoln Tunnel, the New York and Jersey, it would be terrible. So, that being said, on Thursday night, a guy was so banged up on that
ooh-wee and PCP and crack, a deadly cocktail.
In the evening on a Thursday, which is like Thursday night in the city, it's like the weekend. That's like when the weekend starts in Manhattan. He stopped his car in the middle of the Lincoln Tunnel and started choking his chicken. I don't know what was going on Thursday. These are sickos, but I have a feeling.
What?
We always save the best for last when it comes to the sick fucks. This happened in New York too. This is a bad breakup.
Yeah.
This is a really, really, really bad breakup. Now, it's going to get a little vulgar, but I'm not making it up. If I was making it up, I wouldn't be doing podcasts in Vancouver on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I would be on an island somewhere. If I was this creative...
We'd be in Fiji.
Yeah. No, we didn't... we factored the sick fucks, you fact check. And the crazy thing about the sick fucks of the week, if you do fact check and you find them, usually they all do... Look like sick fucks of the week.
Yeah. Like money right there.
I kid. I could do it all night, but I kid. I just want you to brace yourself for this one, because this is way out there, but it's totally true and fact-checked.
Yep.
Because it's easy to just make up these things, but this is real. A bad breakup, young gay couple in New York City. They didn't go into the details of the breakup, but something went awry in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
24, 25-year-old guys.
Yes.
One guy, you know, broke up with the other guy. He was upset. He didn't want to break up.
Scorned.
He posted a picture of his ex-boyfriend's ass on Grindr saying, "I just want to be gang raped."
That motherfucker right there is tight.
So the ex-boyfriend is a sick fuck, but it gets worse. 1,000 people showed up to this guy's job. Those are the sick fucks also.
Yeah.
Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress. Casper, the award-winning, obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Casper is made in the United States. You can try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Listen to me. We're not selling mattresses just to sell mattresses. I sleep on a Casper mattress every single night.
So do I.
Great pricing and a great product. It's risk-free, okay? If you don't like it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. There's over 20,000 reviews online with an average of 4.8 stars. Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. I can say for myself, it's Michael Rapaport, the Gringo Mandingo's most popular, favorite, and only mattress. Go to www.casper.com/Rapaport. Use the promo code Rapaport. Save $50 towards any mattress purchase. They have sheets. They have pillows. And I said it once, I'll say it again. They have doggy beds. They have doggy mattresses at Casper. Go to www.casper.com/Rapaport.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Shooter is in L.A. He was at the San Francisco show.
Yes.
He was like accosted up there, man. They were like grabbing him. It was a different setup in there. They were
all over the
shooter. Yeah, everybody, you know, he's got like groupies, the shooter.
Yeah. We have to hold him back.
Yes. The Jersey High School girl, I thought this was crazy. She's really passionate about becoming a funeral director. This is true.
This is very true.
She showed up. This is like what she's known for. She showed up to her prom in a coffin.
She knocked him dead.
Woo. That. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
What other questions?
No, we gotta,
I broke it down, man. If you're asking me that many questions about a stick man, you ain't a stick man.
Yeah. He's trying to get a primer.
The game is to be told, not to be sold.
You were.
No, that's money
right there.
I know they don't want to do questions. They just want to do a fucking interview session. Yeah. I'm gonna get you. I got you. You right there. Don Self is not on Prison Break because I ended up at the end of Prison Break, you know, like in a with a vegetable. Like I was like, did he come back? I didn't watch it. I don't watch that. You go ahead, Miss. Yes. Thank you.
Moody. Yes.
I love you.
Thank you.
We've been friends for a long time. What was it like to see your friend play Remo in Higher
Remy. The question was, what was it like to play Remo in Higher Learning?
Oh, man.
Better known as Remy.
Yo, to see my man on the silver screen was incredible, but I always knew he had it in him, and the talent was there, and you could see it on the screen.
Thanks, G. I'm going to do an I Am Rappaport stereo podcast trivia question. Who thinks they know about the show? Damn, and you motherfuckers paid to come here, and you're like, the only three people. Shit. All right, the first question is going to be this. You got to raise your hand. Don't announce it out. If you shout it out, I have to void the question. Okay? The very first podcast that we did for the show, I was very adamant and very comfortable wearing what?
Just Tampax. You a funny motherfucker. Hey.
Does anybody have that? All right, stand up. Cashmere sweatpants. You win a butter soft, although it might be too big for you. You look like you're a medium.
Oh, he already got that shit.
He already got one. I'll give you a double XL. Give it to your cousin.
Give
over
one
there.
To your man.
Second question, trivia question. I Am Rapport Stereo. This is going to be a little bit easier. It's not going to be so I Am Rapport Stereo podcast centric. Albeit, it's still a question that you must need to know about the show. Gerald Moody is from Brooklyn. What part of Brooklyn is he from? Don't say it. Don't say it. You. Brownsville section of Brooklyn.
Yes, yes. Hit him off. Hit him off.
Huh?
Hit him off with that T.
Okay. Getting ready for fantasy football. I'm going to ruin him this year. I'm going to take that monkey down. Drag him. It's back here. RG3's out of football.
Yeah.
He's done.
RG3 is done.
Remember he had all the Subway commercials?
Everything. He was everywhere. Everywhere. They should have a Subway commercial with him now.
Yeah, doing what?
He's trying to get the sandwich and his card gets declined.
You fuck you. See, that's when we normally do the podcast, that's the gist of, that's how we do it.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, you got a question. What is it? Right here, I know I'm cross-eyed.
Money right
what
here.
What is it? I'm looking at you, but I feel like this woman's like, are you looking at me or him? I'm looking at you. You, loud, say it loud, nice and loud.
Which team are you rooting for Ice Cube's Big Three?
The Big Three. Which team? I can't root for a team because I'm like the Craig Sager, the Kristen Ledlow of the Big Three. So, the Killer Threes are good. Kenyon Martin's team is really good. Which one?
Trilogy.
So it's gonna be fun, and obviously I'm excited about that. Steven Jackson's crew is good, coached by Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley had to be a peacemaker during the practice game. King of New York, what's your question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Loud, loud. You were talking loud the whole time. Now, you've been talking
shit. I hear him.
Shit.
I hear him.
There you go.
Yeah, Moody.
Yeah.
Rap's always taking shit. Yeah. I want to hear your top five MCs all time and why.
Okay. Yeah. Question is top five MCs of all time.
I said Jail Moody.
Hey, oh. And I said...
Oh, he motherfucking showing his ass tonight. Yo, all right, let me.
All right, you go ahead, you do it, G, and I'll do mine after.
Rakim. Jay Z. Nas.
Kendrick.
No.
Hell no.
KRS One.
Yeah.
It's the last one. Cool G Rap.
And I'm working on a list. I was trying to think of a list of underrated lyricists.
Right.
So I'm going to do Mos Def.
Absolutely.
Ice Cube, underrated. I'm also do 50 Cent, underrated.
Yes.
So, because the conventional list always has the same dudes on it. I'll do Big Boy from Outkast because Andre always gets a shine.
Yeah, Yeah, underrated cats. Yeah.
Underrated. Yeah. Forgot people that you just don't hear about them as much.
Quali is on all the lists.
Yeah, Talib is definitely, he'll be my sixth man on this list, because it's my list, not you, you heckling fuck you.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah, motherfucker. Hit him.
Fifth one, I'll do,
Drake. Oh, you mean Johnny Mathis?
We ain't get there, we're gonna come back. The fifth one, I'll do The Game. He's another dope lyricist. Puts out a lot of music, keeps going. So yeah, Drake is from Canada. You ever think a Canadian, half Jewish, half black?
I didn't see a black person in Canada since I got here. I'm the only motherfucker. I see my Indian brothers out there. I didn't see no Africans. What the fuck happened?
A lot of people like to talk shit about Drake, and so do we. No. No, I mean, yo, listen. I give credit where credit is due. So the next subject is... Nah, he... Yo, when you bring up Stickmen, you cannot argue with the sheer volume and numbers that Drake is putting up.
Oh, Drake.
And he's not whack. Like, yo, he makes a lot of good music.
Drake is good.
Whether he writes it or not, I have no idea. But, yo, and we're in this generation now where it doesn't matter. So I don't have no problem with Drake. He's dope. He's doing
Drake
good.
Is good.
People like him. And he's not talking. There's so much whacker, more negative, more inappropriate music out there than Drake.
Yeah.
At least like his stuff, you know, it's family friendly. It's not like derogatory.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun. Because there's so much worse things to be worried about than Drake and hip hop.
Right.
I like Drake.
Right. Drake is all right.
No, I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it.
We see motherfuckers out there wearing blouses and shit, so...
Making songs about overdosing on drugs.
Yeah. We fuck
terrible.
With Drake.
What other question, ma'am? The question is, do I have any documentaries coming out? I don't know what the next film documentary I'm going to do is. You know, I was fortunate to make... the Tribe Called Quest documentary. Beats, Rhymes, and Life. What did he say?
When the Garden was Eden.
When the Garden was Eden.
These are classics, man.
And, you know, they're hard to make, you know, and the Tribe movie was a passion project, and the 30 for 30 was a passion project, and they're not like something you could do haphazardly. So you got to find something that you're compelled to tell the story about. I'd like to do something that's a little bit more like not pop culture, like not sports, like something like not necessarily political, but like you see like the great docs on Netflix. What was the one about the guy, the murderer, the alleged murderer? Making of a Murderer, and then the other one on HBO about...
You should do a sick fuck doc.
Right. I'm passionate about that.
Yeah. Go for it.
This is a documentary.
Go for it.
What's your next film? I tell mom, my mother, I'm working on a new doc. What is it? That's about sick fucks.
Sick fucks of the century.
Yeah, that'd be like a nine-parter.
Hell yeah.
Favorite role that I've ever had? That's a good question. Beautiful Girls was fun. It's hard to say one. You know, like I said, I've done a lot of things, you know, and the end result sometimes isn't as good as the experience. I've done some movies I had a great experience, and it's just not that good. So, I mean, but I would say the roles, definitely True Romance, Beautiful Girls. Copland, working with De Niro and all those guys. There's a handful of ones, you know. Justified was fun. I can't pick one. It's like picking a child. I've done so many, fortunately. It's hard to say one. I think the movie that probably resonates the most collectively over the years is definitely not Deep Blue Sea.
But that's what the one everybody likes.
People like it because it's so pop culture-y. And they have Shark Week, for crying out loud. Every year I get a phone call to host Shark Week. And I'm like, yo, I'm doing the podcast, man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'll tell you, that movie was really hard to film because we shot all the water scenes in studios that were like 20 times as big as this. And, you know, like 150 feet, probably about 100 feet in the air, filled with water. And there's stuntmen, electricians, and gaffers and cameramen pissing in the water all day. And then they go, we need the actors. So we come in after the storm.
Nasty.
My top five movies of all time, favorite movies, I'll go with...
And why?
Well, I'm not going to go in any particular order, but I'll go with City of God, great movie. One of the best movies of the last 20 years. I got to go with Rocky. Raging Bull, of course. That's my shit. Let me see what else. G, you do a few.
Fuck, man. Your movies.
Let me see what else. Saturday Night Fever. You know I love the...
Yeah.
Dog Day Afternoon. They're interchangeable.
Raging
Bull. Raging Bull's good. A lot of life lessons in Raging
Godfather.
Bull. What's the other question? You, miss.
I was wondering what your top favorite female rappers.
Damn, top favorite female rappers.
MC Light.
MC Light, Latifah.
Queen La.
I mean, there's so few. It's pathetic. It's not their fault. No, there's no oh. It's just the way it is. Remy Ma.
Remy Ma.
Nicki Minaj is like a...
Who? Somebody said Kylie Jenner.
No, you can't say Yo-Yo because Yo-Yo did one song, one record, so... Moni Love.
How are you gonna...
Lauryn Hill made one great record and then doesn't show up to shows anymore.
Yeah. Word.
Rhapsody from North Carolina.
Who?
Rhapsody.
Rhapsody.
You actually didn't
answer my question.
Shit, hell no.
But that's a valid question. But I think the music, Remy Ma is really good, like right now. But the music itself, I mean, there just hasn't been that many great ones. Boss, was that her name, Boss?
Yeah, you can't put her up in there.
Okay. Her record was good.
Yeah.
She had a whole record. Who else got a question? What is it?
So, have you paid up on your debt to Bill Burr yet?
The question is, did I pay up on my debt to Bill Burr yet? No. I owe this cocksucker three meals. We just did a third. He keeps beating me. I'm never going to deny the bet. But he keeps asking me, will the Knicks beat the Celtics? And I knew each time. But how am I going to say no? I have to take it. So it's like now I have to take it. Like we have to have like, we need to go on vacation together. I have to take him on vacation to pay that. I owe him a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner. And I think like a foot massage.
The great Bill Burr.
Yeah. All right. Good. I'm going to get a few more questions. We're going to hang out. We're going to meet and greet with everybody, all the people. Not these three.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What a question?
Nah. Money right there is good.
Go ahead.
Did Ja Rule take the biggest L of Fyre Festival this year?
Did Ja Rule take the biggest L? He might be taking... That's going to be beyond an L.
You'll never see him again. He set up the Rwandan... The Rwandan Summer Jam. That's him in infamy. That's it. None of the records, none of that shit matters. He set the Rwandan Summer Jam.
What other questions? In the sides, I can't see. Is there anybody over there? Ask the question. What is it?
Who's your favorite housewife and why?
My favorite housewife and why is, I would probably say, Bethany. She's to me the Jordan of housewives. First of all, her story is good because she was a housewife. She created a brand, and then she was on the cover of Forbes. Like her story transcends Housewives. So she created a brand, and I just think she's entertaining. And the reason why I say the Jordan comparison in terms of Housewife Land is because she left the show and then came back wearing the 4-5 jersey and still kicking ass.
Word.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who you got, right?
And I'll give one more good question, and we'll get out of here. I just can't see. Got to be good.
Money with the leather on.
are and why, and who's your fantasy guest in the future?
Good question. Yeah. The question was, who's the favorite guest we've had on the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast, and who the fantasy guest? It's hard to pick one. I'll let you, because you're usually not there with the guests. Like, who would you say has been the favorite guest for you to listen to?
Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doc Rivers was really good.
Doc Rivers, yeah.
Aiello was great.
Aiello. How can we have a lot of guys, man. They're interchangeable. There's no one.
Steven Jackson was really good.
Yeah. Who do you want?
Wood Harris was great. I don't even consider him a guest because he's like more like a friend.
Yeah.
What is the food up here in Vancouver? Yeah, but I'm talking about Canadian shit.
Tandoori, right? We saw tandoori a lot.
Beavertail?
Beavertail.
You guys aren't allowed to answer at all. You three.
Everybody tandoori, else. Yeah.
So beavertail and what else?
What is tandoori. Tandoori chicken, man.
I went up to Vancouver with these crazy cocksuckers. Dude. They wanted to take me ice skating and serve me beaver tail, these French fried-eating cocksuckers. Aiello's got to be the favorite guest because he means so much. Yo, we are the Disco 2. We are the Malachi Brothers. This has been the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Thank you for coming. And we're hanging out. We'll take pictures, meet and greet, whatever you want.
Vancouver, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.